Glad to have Brother Frank Wood with us today, and Miss Wanda, and he wouldn't be who he is without his wife, that's for sure.
Well, it's good to be with you, and you know, I think probably all of you here are the same as I would think in this thing. If he said I was a help to him, Wanda and I were a help to him and Sandy, any of us would like to hear that about ourselves, wouldn't we? We all ought to want to be a help to other people, that's what I'm saying, amen, and praise the Lord for that. I'm glad for the ministry that God has given them here and what God has done and is doing. And again, glad to be back with you today. I want you to turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. I actually read this verse in Sunday school today. I'm going to take a part of it that is want to zero in on today. When you find your place, if you're able to do so, would you please stand as we show our respect for the reading of God's holy word. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. And while you're finding your place and all that, I was listening to the announcements. You're getting ready to hear some of the greatest preachers in America coming in. Brother Sam Davison and Brother Maury. And I haven't heard his brother, but I've heard them. And of course, Jason Jett. And Aaron is an excellent speaker as well. And so, and she's a lot of fun, too. And so she'll have you laughing, I'm sure of that. But be sure and take advantage of these opportunities, these servants of the Lord that will come this way, or you can go and be a part of what they're doing. It'll be a blessing and help to your life. 1 Corinthians, and I didn't say even pray about it. I just said do it. So he was smoother about it. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. I want to read this verse. The Bible says at the end of this great resurrection chapter, I mentioned that in Sunday school today, so I'll just read the verse here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Notice this last part. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and the blessings of the day, and thank you for your word and the truth and power of it. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege and the responsibility of preaching thy word. I pray, Lord, that you give me clarity of thought and strength of voice and the genuine leadership of the Holy Spirit. Use me, Lord, to bring a message today by which you'll minister to the hearts of those that are gathered here. Lord, you know my heart's desire and my prayer is that you'd use your word in lives according to needs. Pray any that are here without Christ, they'll see their need to be saved. I pray that wayward Christians would be stirred to return to you and get right with you. And Lord, for faithful Christians to be edified and strengthened and built up in the faith. And Lord, I pray there'll be conviction wherever it's needed in people's lives. And I pray you'd give us the good sense to respond as we should. Lord, you know I want you to be pleased with the preaching, but even beyond that, I pray you'll be pleased with the response of people to thy word and thy spirit as you work through your word this day. We'll praise you and thank you for what you do, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Well, most of us realize that tomorrow is Labor Day. It's a holiday in our country, and I feel like the Lord has led me to bring a message today that goes along with the theme of Labor Day. Let me just read you a few things that I got to read because I can't remember all these things, but that it won't be that many things. But Labor Day is a holiday that was established for the purpose of honoring working people. Two men are credited with suggesting a holiday to honor working people. One of them's name was Matthew McGuire. He was a machinist from Paterson, New Jersey. The other man was Peter McGuire. They're not related. Their names are even spelled different. But Peter McGuire was a New York City carpenter who helped establish the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners. Both men helped stage the first Labor Day parade in New York City in September of 1882. President Grover Cleveland signed a bill in 1894 making Labor Day a national holiday. I believe that labor is a necessary and an honorable activity. Since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden into sin, man has made his way by the sweat of his brow. Those that labor faithfully and diligently to provide for themselves and their families are performing a task that pleases and honors the Lord. Regardless of the type of work, we talk about sweat of the brow, sometimes it's just sitting at a desk or a computer or wherever it might be, but laboring to provide for their family, regardless of the type of work, as long as that work is honorable, it's pleasing and honoring to the Lord that men be faithful in their jobs. Labor Day, I believe, is a good holiday. It's what I would call a day to honor regular working people. I assume all of us consider ourselves to be regular people. And so people that are hard at what we have to do in our lives. Our text tells us that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What it's talking about is what we do for God. Our service to God, it's not in vain in the Lord. The word vain means worthless or empty or meaningless. And the Bible says your labor is not in vain in the Lord. On the contrary, our service for the Lord is very valuable, it's very fulfilling, and it's very meaningful. It's something we all ought to be doing. On this Labor Day weekend, I would like to bring a message on the subject of laboring for the Lord and remind you that it is not in vain to serve the Lord. If I were to give the message a title today, it'd simply be, "It is not in vain." And I notice by the way that I read this verse, it is like it is a given that if you're a Christian, or if you're a saved person, you will labor for the Lord. After you've been saved, it's expected. It's what God wants for us, to serve Him with our lives. But I want to remind you, it is not in vain. And I just want to talk about a number of things that goes along with that statement, or has to do with that statement. First of all, I've found that many people seem to think that it is vain to serve the Lord. Malachi 3, verse 14, backslidden Israel said, "It is vain to serve the Lord." They said, "It's not worthwhile. It doesn't do any good. It's empty. It's meaningless." That's what they decided in their backslidden state. I found that in the world today, there's a whole lot of people who view serving the Lord as being far less important than many other things. Many people that name the name of Christ look at it as far less important than serving the Lord. When I talk about serving the Lord, I want you to understand, I'm not talking about people in full-time Christian service. I'm not talking about the pastors and missionaries and evangelists. It applies to us. But I'm talking about people who are saved, who it's important to them. They want to be, and trust that's many of you here today, you want to be full-time Christians. You know, when our children were growing up in a preacher's home, people, you know, kind of thought, well, these people will probably go into ministry and so forth. And I made it clear to our kids, we're not putting any pressure on you to go into the ministry. Our goal for you is to be full-time Christians. I don't know, once you're saved, you're full-time. You're always a Christian. You're always a child of God. But Christian means little Christ or Christ-like. And people who are endeavoring to be Christ-like in their lives will serve the Lord with their lives. But many people look at it as not very important. People look at church as, when we talk about laboring for the Lord in church, like attendance and being a part of the activities and a part of the outreach program, winning souls to Christ, reaching out to wayward Christians and so forth, the special services, work days and all of that, those are things we ought to value and look at as being important, because they are. The other activities that many people many times place a whole lot more value on is work, the way they make their living. And it is important to have a job, and it's honorable to have a job. I've already said that, but it's not more important than the things of God. You need to understand that. People place high value on their hobbies, don't they? And on recreation. And don't get me wrong, I think it's very important to have family time, but family time ought not to be done exclusively to the exclusion of the things of God and the service of God in and through your local church and following the Lord in those ways. A lot of people think that serving the Lord is not important at all. They look at it as just something that religious people do. They don't see the significance of it at all. So many people seem to think that it is in vain to serve the Lord, regardless of what they say. You know, our actions betray us as what our values are and what we consider to be significant. And I'm asserting here today, it is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When I talk about your labor in the Lord, when the Bible speaks of that, I believe it refers to anything you do for God. Anything in your life that you're doing for God as you ought to do. Whether it be physical work around the church. I noticed some people around here Friday when I came in and yesterday as well. They were working on things around the church here. Thank God for people who work on things with their hands. Amen. The physical labors of the church. That's a labor for the Lord. And I know in our church, I talked about it, working on buildings, helping keep buses running, working on the yards, preparing food for special times in people's lives, like funeral dinners and things like that, or whatever it might be, helping in the nursery, all kinds of things that people do for the cause of Christ. That's labor for the Lord, and it's not in vain. It's valuable. Our financial service in giving tithes and offerings to the work of God, that's a labor for the Lord. Or what we would call spiritual ministries, like teaching the Word of God and preaching the Word of God. Teaching, whether it's in a Sunday school class or a children's church ministry or in the church itself, preaching and teaching the Word of God. Singing and playing instruments for the Lord. And I know you can do instruments and sing that's not spiritual, but you can do it spiritually as well. Amen. I believe our song service here today was very good. And it had life in it. And it had meaning. It sounded to me like people were singing something they believed. And that's a form of worship for the Lord. And witnessing to the lost. And encouraging Christians along the way. And visiting the sick and the sorrowing. And those things that we do. And that's not a whole list. I'm just talking about things we do for God to help people spiritually. Say, preacher, I don't see how fixing buildings helps people spiritually. Well, it's important to have a building if we're going to have church services, amen? And it all works for the cause of Christ. And then ministering to your family. I hope every parent here takes seriously the admonition to train up our children in the way they should go. We ought to be focused on that. And by the way, I know many times Christians say, man, I want to train up my children in the way they should go, but I don't know how to do that. I'll tell you one real key to that is know what you're trying to train them to do and to be. Are you with me? I found in my life, if I know what the goal is, it helps me a lot to stay focused on that goal. And it's not like I don't need advice and opinion and instruction and help from other people and help from the Word of God, of course. We need those things. But raising your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I'll go a step further. We ought to raise our children for the Lord. We ought to want them to love God and serve God with their lives. And then men leading your families to serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, I used to read that. I raise kids, and we have three. One, and I have three that are—they're grown, they're adults, have their own families now. But I thought about this. I kind of sometimes I'm the devil's advocate in things. You know, how could he say, "Me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? How can you say your children are going to serve the Lord? You know, I couldn't make them be Christians. I couldn't make them serve God, but I could bring them to church and insist on it, and I could insist on some things that's allowed and some things that's not allowed in their lives. That's parenting, amen? And we ought to do that with the desire that they would turn out to serve God with their lives. And then our service to God involves maintaining what I call our spiritual disciplines in our own personal life, like daily Bible reading and daily prayer. I didn't make up this saying, but I was doing it a long time before I ever heard of it. I believe every Christian ought to be daily in the Word. We ought to read God's Word on a daily basis. And I know some people say, boy, I can't find time to do that. You know, the way I figured out as a young Christian, the way I could find time to read God's Word was do it the first thing of the day. You say, that means, so I get up early. We'll get up a little earlier. We'll say, how can I do that? Go to bed a little earlier. plan your day with that. I found in my life, if I don't do it in the morning, I have a hard time getting it done. Because life happens, doesn't it? And, you know, most people are busy. But even busy people take time to do what they want to do. And take time to do what they value doing. I'll tell you one thing you need is you need to be daily in the Word. And you need to spend time in prayer every day. You know, we shouldn't just pray for God when we're a catastrophe has happened or a tragedy has happened or we're just in the midst of a great trial or problem. We ought to pray every day. And prayer is asking and receiving from God, but prayer is also worshiping God. You ought to spend some time when you go to the Lord in prayer and praise Him for who He is. And thank Him for what He's done and what He's doing. And then ask Him for what you need. And it's not wrong to ask Him for what you want. You say, really? There's things we've received that was an answer to prayer that we didn't need, but was glad when He gave it to us. And we can have that personal walk with the Lord as we read our Bible and pray and be faithful in church attendance. You know, I really believe that Christians ought to be fanatics about church attendance. I believe we ought to be every time the doors are open kind of Christians. You know, when there's something going on at the church that I could be a part of, and by the way, I was that way before I became a preacher. I'll go a first step further. I think one of the things that's important to God before He calls somebody into some kind of service is that they've already be faithful to Him. Learning and growing and serving Him with their lives. We ought to understand those things as service to God. Enduring temptation. That's a big deal. You know, the word temptation is used in the Bible talking about a solicitation to do sinful things. That's temptation, amen? Adam and Eve in the garden tempted to partake of the forbidden fruit. And that's a solicitation to sin, and we all deal with that. Hopefully we deal with it as we should. But also temptation is used to speak of our trials, our difficulties in life. And we ought to deal with temptation in both those ways in a faithful, consistent way that lines up with what the Lord would have us to do. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." You know, that's a real crown that people will be given at the judgment seat of Christ because they learn to say no to the temptations. And by the way, when you're going through a trial, you are always tempted to do wrong things. To endure temptation is to face the trials in a proper way. You know, some people, when they go through a great trial, it's like the first thing that they start neglecting is the house of God. And they neglect their prayer life and they neglect the word, their Bible reading. Are you following what I'm saying? Here's what I found out in my life. And I found out it's important for me, it's important to others. You know, when I'm going through a great trial, I need to keep my chin up. Keep your chin up. Instead of walking around like that, there's always hope, amen? As long as Jesus is part of the equation, there is always hope. Keep your chin up. Be hopeful. Trust God. Keep your nose clean. I'm not talking about blowing your nose, okay? Keep your nose clean and stay out of trouble. Don't let your trial cause you to do sinful things. You know, I don't know if you've figured this out yet or not. If you haven't, you haven't been paying attention. Do you know that other people sometimes can be very annoying? I used to say lost people can be very annoying, but I got to be honest, saved people can be annoying sometimes too. I being one of them, I'm sure. You know, if somebody's annoying, that doesn't give me the right to treat them in a way I shouldn't treat them. You know, all kind of terms I could use or ways of saying things, but it doesn't give me the right to lose my temper doesn't give me the right to become mean-spirited. Are you following what I'm saying? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. What I'm saying is we need to face our trials, chin up, nose clean. Don't let it lead to sinful saying things you should have never said. Follow what I'm saying? Doing things you shouldn't do. Keep your Bible open. That is, keep reading the Word of God. And spend time on your knees. And with all that said there, that also includes one of the things God has said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We need to be faithful to the house of God. Enduring. The Bible says, just points it out, singles it out. It says there's a crown in heaven for those who endure temptation. Those who resist the temptation to do wrong, and those who endure the problems, still trusting God, still calling on the Lord, being faithful to God. We should respond biblically to the problems that come into our lives. Our labor in the Lord is anything we do for the cause of Christ, whether we do it in the limelight or in the shadows, whether we do it handling the Word of God or handling a paintbrush or a hammer or a dust cloth. And I can name other things. However we serve God, whether we're doing impressive tasks or menial tasks, I believe with all my heart, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, the ones at the head of the line are not always the ones that stood in the pulpit. And they're not always the one that sang the specials or played the instruments. And thank God for the instruments. That was a blessing. I enjoyed that. That added to the service. I'm thankful for that. But it's not just people that are seen by everybody doing what they're doing. There's a lot of people that do a lot of things that we won't even know they did until they receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. We had a good man in our church many years ago, faithful man in the church, was killed in a motorcycle accident on the way to church. Not on the way to church, on the way to work one morning. He was on his motorcycle and got killed. And I knew he was a good man, and I loved him and was so thankful for him. Broke my heart when he died. But I found out after he died a number of things that he was doing for other people that I didn't know that he was doing for people in our church. Our youth director at that time had a garden, and we went to youth camp. It was time for the beans to be coming in, and this guy had gone to their house without being asked and picked the beans and put them in the garage where they wouldn't be out in the sun and so forth because it was time to get it done. He just did stuff like that. And I'm sure when we get to heaven, there's a lot of Christians. There's been a lot of good things for a lot of people. We had there's three ladies in our church, and I didn't know where they were doing it, but they'd been doing it for years. They would go hospital visiting together, and when they visited a woman in the hospital, which is generally what they did, they always took her a long-stemmed rose and just gave her a rose and had prayer with her and talked to her and so forth. And I didn't even know they were doing it. I didn't know they were going visiting. They took it on themselves to do that. So it doesn't have to be where everybody sees you, is what I'm saying. If it's just done faithfully out of a right heart and a right spirit to serve the Lord in the lives of others. And by the way, for the most part, we serve the Lord in the lives of others, or at least on behalf of the life of others. Our labor is not in vain. It is valuable, and it's worthwhile, and it's meaningful. Listen to this. Our labor in the Lord has some high and lofty goals. Our labor for the Lord, first of all, has the goal of pleasing and honoring the Lord. That should be right at the top of our list of what we want to get done in this life. Pleasing and honoring the Lord. It has the goal of winning lost souls to Christ. Anything you do to help the church be what the church ought to be, it moves toward getting people saved. And it also moves toward helping people to live right once they are saved. It has to do with restoring backsliders. And it has to do with building and furthering God's kingdom. Those are high and lofty goals. I don't know if you've ever really come to grips with this or not, but I've thought about this many times over the years. I know who I am, and I know what I am, and I'm made of clay, and I'm not worthy. And yet, God does spiritual, meaningful ministry through the likes of me, it humbles me that He can do that. He can do it through you too. And He wants to do that through you, to use you to be a blessing and help to others. You know, a lot of what is done and a lot of what we may do is done to please or satisfy or gratify our flesh. It really is. And that's not all bad. But it shouldn't be the main thing. A lot of what people do is to win the favor or the esteem of other people. Or to gain the things of this world like money and material things and pleasures and all that. And again, those are not all bad things. But those goals are not as lofty as the goals we talked about in serving Christ. Winning souls and building Christians and glorifying God and pleasing God and those kind of things. It's a high and lofty goal that we have in serving Christ. By the way, a lot of the things that we spend a lot of time and energy and effort on, and some of them are needful things. I'm not saying it's all bad. There's such a thing as needful secular labor. Amen? It's important. It's significant. It's a part of our lives. And it's not only okay, it ought to be done. But when we're working for these things that I just mentioned, we'll leave all those things behind. When we work for the Lord, when we serve the Lord, when we labor for the Lord, we're laying up treasures in heaven. And I believe that literally every Christian has an account in heaven. And I know that God's accounting system misses nothing. We ought to be faithful in our labor for the Lord. I want to say a few more things and get on with this message to be toward the end. I'm not done yet. Don't get your hopes up. Notice the great value of our labor for the Lord. If we're serving God, it's of great value to other people in this life. Because when a person gets saved, the old man becomes a new creature. Amen? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become or becoming new. A progressive work of sanctification in our lives where we grow in grace and the knowledge of Christ. Helping people to become something they could have never been without Christ. That's very significant. Help people stay on track. You know, if you're the faithful Christian you ought to be in, you're the friend you ought to be in, you're the Christian you ought to be in your life, you're helping other Christians stay on track. You know what I'm talking about. Instead of getting off track, getting distracted, and going the wrong ways. Our labor in the Lord is significant and helps them to learn and grow and become servants of Christ themselves. It's a help to others in eternity as well, because our labor in the Lord helps people when this life is over, they go to heaven instead of hell because they got saved and receive eternal rewards that only come by faithfulness to Christ. It's valuable to ourselves as well. The value of serving the Lord is valuable to others, to ourselves as well. God blesses His labors. You know, walking with Christ and serving Christ, one of the things you receive with that, some of the things, is joy. And it's a joy unspeakable. And a peace that passes understanding. And provisions. God provides for His own. He takes care of us. And I'm talking about more than just material provisions. And power. Spiritual power in our lives. If you're a Spirit-filled Christian, you have the power of God in your life. And rewards. Even in this life. I believe God gives physical rewards. I believe that. I believe that the Bible teaches that our life can live longer or it can be more significant if we're faithful to God. Physical blessings, material blessings, social blessings. One of the greatest possessions I have in this life is godly friends. That's a spiritual blessing, but it comes in interaction with people. Thank God for the right kind of friends, and God blesses those that are faithful to Him and of course spiritual blessings. He has promised that we will bear fruit for Him. It's not in vain. I want to say that again. He has promised that we will bear fruit for Him. Our service to Him is not in vain. Concerning the reaching out to the lost and bringing people to Christ, it's in Psalms. It's an illustration, an analogy that's an agricultural illustration. But it says, He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, like we're sowing seeds for crops. Weeping means you go with the burden. You care about who you're talking to. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, listen to this, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves, that's the harvest of souls, with him. And by the way, I believe you're a soul winner if you're having a part in the process of people coming to Christ. Some people get discouraged because they pass out tracts and they witness and they talk to people and they've had no or very few people ever come to Christ. They think it doesn't do any good. Doesn't do any good. If you're sowing and watering, it's likely somebody else is reaping. You know, I go to churches and I preach, and there's times that I come to churches like this and I preach and people get saved, and praise God for that. I'm always excited to see somebody get saved. But I always know there was some sowing and watering went on before I got to come here and be a part of the harvest. You follow what I'm saying? Reap the harvest. We ought to be faithful. I'm saying that about there's a guaranteed harvest. God does bless our going, our doing. Not just sowing all of it. God blesses that. Because there are a lot of discouraged soul winners, witnesses for Christ. They're discouraged because the devil has convinced you it doesn't do any good. And I want you to know the reason the devil says that is he's a liar. And he says it doesn't do any good because he knows it does. And it does. I've been a Christian a long time, and I've met people along the way that will tell me that they got saved in a service that I preached or something I said to them convinced them that they ought to get going to a good church and they got saved and so forth. I've heard those kind of things. Never knew they happened. And I think any of us who are faithful, consistently faithful for serving the Lord and witnessing to others and doing what we ought to, there'll be people in heaven. We had a part in them getting there and reaching them for Christ. And we can rejoice in that. And sometimes we get to see it here as well. He that goeth forth and weepeth. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The value of serving the Lord to ourselves in this life as well as in eternity. Rewards of gold and silver and precious stone. Rewards that are everlasting. We can go on about that. It is not in vain. A lot of things that people are spending their lives and their money and their time and their energy, the things they're spending those things on are in vain. They have no eternal value. No lasting value in this life. But serving the Lord is of great value to you, to others, to the cause of Christ. Serving the Lord will bring great blessings in your life and eternal rewards upon your life. I believe that faithful Christians will be singing a song something like this, or what this song is talking about, where it says, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. By the way, if you serve the Lord, it is work. It does take time. It does take effort. But it's worth it. And it will always be of great value if we'll serve Him. I want to ask you, are you laboring for the Lord? Are you consciously endeavoring to be steadfast? Fastened in place, faithful as you ought to be, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Or are you being inconsistent and up and down and back and forth? Are you just somewhat involved in serving the Lord? Are you serving Lord, just a little, or as a way beyond primary purpose in your life, not there at all? Is it important, but not as important as it should be? You know, our lives tend to follow the pattern of our values. What we value, we give ourselves to. And serving the Lord is valuable. If you're laboring for the Lord and you're doing so faithfully, good news. Good news. It's not in vain. And if you've served Him faithfully very long, you already know it's not in vain. Let's stay at it. Of course, it all starts with salvation. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, your great need is you trust Him as Savior. If you are saved, you're a child of God. There ought to be conscious commitment in your life on a daily basis. I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to serve Him like He wants me to serve. As we talk about Labor Day, thank God for people who are faithful to labor at their jobs. But also thank God for those who are faithful to labor for the Lord in the things of the Lord. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed.